Yes, a new book about mothers and daughters. It's called Bite Your Tongue by Francesca Rendell Short. And she's dedicated the book to her mother, Angel, who was a formidable personality who floats in and out of this story as a fictional character and as herself. Older listeners will remember Mrs. Rendell Short. She was a moral crusader, an anti-smut campaigner, and an outspoken critic of all sorts of aspects of the school curriculum, particularly of books. And on her hit list were titles such as The Catcher in the Rye and Lord of the Flies. So this was happening in Queensland in the 1970s, at the height of Joh Bjelke-Petersen's power, and Mrs. Angel Rendell Short knew how to make herself heard. She was very good at doing media, as we now say. But for her children, especially her daughters, this made for a difficult childhood and a complicated set of memories. Bite Your Tongue is a thorny tale, which is part memoir and part fiction, featuring a young girl called Glory and her parents, Mother Joy and Onward. Francesca spoke to Kate Evans at a book event in Brisbane, and with a soundtrack from her childhood to accompany her, Francesca begins with a reading.
The day I found my mother in the Queensland archives, really found her there, voice and all, was a very ordinary Brisbane afternoon, unremarkable for the season. I knew it would be only a matter of time. I'd been making good progress, tracking down references to do with her campaign. But when I saw this new material, my heart caved in. It felt personal. I could hear her voice speaking to me directly, accusing, protesting, pleading. My mother was being questioned in the Queensland Parliament, and she was on the back foot. There were 6 pages dedicated to her examination, and I quote, "I tried to interest my children in Shakespeare, in Milton, some of the really, really great men in the past, and they have already abandoned them. They are not interested. They have a room to study in, they have peace and quiet in the evening, they have everything, and parents who are interested, quite a big library of books. But in my view, coming out the other end, they are not educated at 17 or 18. Give a 13-year-old Catcher in the Rye, and I think he is a goner."
Here, Francesca Rendell Short is reading one of the voices from her book. This is the memoir, a version of herself as she confronts the legacy of her mother, an outspoken morals and anti-smut campaigner in Queensland in the 1970s. Books, especially fiction, were the problem. Pressing and containing words was something of an obsession. Hold your tongue, bite your tongue.
Well, we never had tinned tongue. It was always freshly made tongue. So my mother loved pressed meats. She loved, well, she wasn't actually a very good cook, but the things that she did cook, she loved cooking them lovingly. And one of her favourites was a series of pressed meats. So she made brawn from a pig's head, and she also made tongue, and where you get 2 tongues and you cook them and boil them for hours and hours and hours and then take them off the stove and strip off the grey skin and then put them in a little kiss and then put the jelly on and put the brick on and put it in the fridge. And then the next day you slice this beautiful lolly pink tongue. And it was my favourite meat as a kid. and of course, it's a central image in the book, you know, because this book is about that sense of voice and finding voice out of the silence. And, you know, the tongue is really pivotal. And it just so happened that that story was the first story that I started writing in this book.
But because of what you do with that book, and because it's about tongues and words being compressed and contained, by the end of the book I thought, I wonder if there really was those grey masses of tongues being pressed into a tin. So there really was pressed tongue.
Yes, there really was. Well, in Francesca and Angel's kitchen, yes, there was.
Well, there's another event in the kitchen that I haven't been able to stop thinking about, and that's sex education with a pig's head. Now, you just have to explain that, and I hope that one also happened in Francesca and Angel's kitchen.
It did happen in Francesca and Angel's kitchen and with my sister Hepzibah. So the three of us, Yes, we gathered around. Well, it was the same thing because brawn is made from the cooked meat of a pig's head. So you buy one from the butcher and you put it in a very big pot and you cook it until the meat falls off. But on this occasion, she decided to have an anatomy lesson. I suppose she thought that we needed a bit of sex education, so use the pig's head as demonstration of the female body. But it, you know, it wasn't quite right, as you can imagine.
So it was sort of the shape of a uterus.
Sort of, that's right. And Glory, I gave that story to Glory in the book, so she borrowed that from me.
Well, that story made me squirm, but squirming and feeling uncomfortable and is something that you make explicit in the book. I mean, at one point you say that you felt curdled with shame. And given that you are writing about both a fictional woman and your own mother, I wonder if you could talk a bit more about that experience, both in the archive and of revisiting your own history, because feeling that you were curdled with shame, that's a pretty powerful thing to say.
It's very strong, isn't it? You know, shame is at the heart of this story. Just that sense that, I mean, I think every daughter has fraught and difficult relationship with the mother. You know, the daughter-mother relationship is often complex, let's put it like that. And I think in my particular case I had that, but it was, you know, a thousandfold. Because my mother was very, very powerful, but she was very public with her power, and that makes it very, very difficult then for a daughter. So in writing this story, I found it a very, very hard story to write. So when I first began writing it, it was almost that I couldn't get close and I couldn't get hold of the memory. And so I talk about it in the book, how I looked out of the corner of my eye, sort of obliquely, sideways. And I found in the writing that it was easier to write if I gave it to somebody else to tell the story. So this is how Glory developed as a character. I began to write in third person and gave her a name, not Francesca, but Glory, and she just took off.
And so there are two narratives in the book. The memoir, in which Francesca talks about herself and remembers her mother, whose name really was Angel. And then there's a novel intertwined with it. The story of a girl named Glory, her parents, Mother Joy and Onward, and some cruel Brisbane schoolgirls.
Forget Richo, king of talkback radio. Forget the newspaper. Glory's classmates wanted to get even, and they knew exactly how they were going to do it, with the help of the famous books themselves. Shit here has a prying mother, does she? The prefects at the school gates were in charge. Wants to get involved, does she? Out here in the end-of-day crush, with the whole school as witness, Glory didn't know what to do. She hadn't rehearsed this bit. Thumbs the naughty bits, does she? Listen to this, everyone. Listen up. The one with the crimped hair, bleached white and perfect white teeth called out, "Who's got a copy? Any copy?" They knew what they were doing. Ooh, look at this. Listen to Holden. And she started to recite passages and excerpts. Is this how your mother does it? They must have scoured the book all lunchtime to find these passages, mark them up. All the girls were fascinated. A sea of straw hats turned skywards, faces expectant. How daring. They wanted to swallow every word. They didn't mind being late out of school, missing their trains. They wouldn't pass up this show for anything.
But this really did happen to Francesca, and there's more to the scene. Awful things happen, just as it happened to her character, Glory. And there's a list, too, of books her mother particularly objected to. It included The Catcher in the Rye, Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath, Lolita, Gone with the Wind, Donald Horne's The Lucky Country, an inventory of dangerous writing.
But this lists circulated in all different sorts of places. Delegation went to Joby Elke-Peterson with it. I found traces of it up in a bit of activity up in Cairns and Townsville. And then it was circulated in pamphlets and so forth around the place. But it's very central to my work. And I decided to make it 100, so I had fun, you know, taking off stories where I thought, I don't even remember that, like, you know, and sort of culled it a little bit down to around poetic 100.
But you've collected them, haven't you?
I did. As part of the project, I decided that I wanted to collect all 100 of the books. I got up to 88, I think it was, and then got bored. Or didn't get bored, but I was trying to collect them in the edition that they would have been in my mother's library. So I wanted the 1970s edition, and that got a little bit hard.
And what impact did it have on you as a writer to be engaging with these particular writers?
I mean, those 100 books, some of them have had such a profound influence on me. I mean, Mrs. Dalloway, I was thinking about Mrs. Dalloway the other day because I was reading some Virginia Woolf, and I was reading her Moments of Being essays, actually, and you know, thinking about when I first read Mrs. Dalloway, it was at university, I couldn't get off the first page. I just read first page over and over and over and over again, sort of drinking it up, just thinking about the language and the words and her attack and her wonderful sort of sensibility and the way that she just puts you there, that wonderful final line where she says, you know, what a lark, what a plunge. You know, she just kind of puts you into this space. It's a very visceral thing. But as part of this writing of this project, I reread some of the books. So I reread Lord of the Flies, for example. It's the most amazing book. It's really visceral and of the body. Just fantastic.
And it's not giving anything away in terms of the plot to admit that your mother died. But there's a scene when there's you and your sisters and you're describing the deathbed scene. And it's incredibly powerful. And you get to the end of it and then you turn to us and you say, that was glory. I wasn't there.
This was such an important bit to get right. It's very nice that you know, resonated with it. That's good to hear. It's one of those bits in the book that actually comes quite late in the writing. It's so interesting writing a big work like this because you get everything in place and then you ask yourself, hang on a minute, what's actually really going on here? Because I think that in writing Glory's story and allowing Mother Joy to die and then thinking through that death scene, there was almost a belief that I was Glory, that we had actually morphed together and become one, and that in fact this was her story, but it was also my story. But it wasn't my story with my mother, Angel, because I wasn't there when she died, and I wasn't able to get as close as Glory did to Mother Joy as I was able to with my mother, because my mother did have a scene at the end, and it meant then that possibility of coming close wasn't going to happen. But the beautiful thing about writing is that you can actually have these two things sit side by side. And I think there's a little phrase there in the book where I say, unlike Glory, I wasn't there when my mother died. And it's just like a little hinge of the book, and it's very late in the piece. And a number of readers have responded quite strongly to that point and felt a little bit that the rug was just pulled out from under them. I think because they, like me, thought that I was Glory, came to believe that the two had come together. But it was quite important for me to actually show that this was fiction, You know, this was artifice, if you like. I mean, I actually think the Francesca story is sort of artifice as well, you know, because it's very... when you write nonfiction, this comes to the nonfiction fiction question. When you're thinking about memory, you know, there's nothing factual about memory. You know, you're playing stories in your mind, so you're creating fictions, if you like, of yourself. And so I think in a way memoir is a sort of a fictionalising of self, a constructing of self.
On RN, Francesca Rendell Short speaking with Kate Evans. And Francesca's novel is called Bite Your Tongue, and it's published by Spinifex Press. Next up, Top Shelf.